wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Wednesday morning, John and Lance, Aaron as well.
Hey, guys.
Right here on ESPN 97.
Hope you guys are doing great.
We're going to, Julia Meraz is going to join us today here on the show, so we'll talk to her.
It's a big
that'll
day.
That'll be at 8 o'clock here. No, we don't talk to Julia nearly enough. She's great. She does a great job. They've had some good sideline. It ain't easy doing baseball sideline. And they've really had some good people on the sidelines
over
the years.
Super sharp.
And Julia is right up there with all with the best.
You know what's cool about Julia Morales and you know, not really Blum and TK. You can't really say that about these guys. Julia's been there from the beginning. Like, she's been there from when did she get in? She was there when it was yucky, didn't she? Not when it was just yummy.
Oh, when they were stinky.
When it was yucky.
Yeah,
yeah.
2014 maybe.
I think she was 14 because I remember seeing. I didn't know who it was. I remember seeing Julia Morales. It was me and Charlie, maybe even 13, because I was with Charlie then, and we'd broadcast from the Astros every Tuesday when they were in town, and when me and Charlie did an afternoon show for a year, and that's when Bo Porter was there. And so I remember being out there and seeing Julia Morales and not knowing who she was. And I want to say she started maybe 13.
She's in her ninth season right now.
12. Wow.
Yeah.
She came when it was Root. No, before Root
no,
Sports.
No, that was when it was...
when they weren't on the air.
No, it was Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah, Comcast
Sportsnet. Yeah, when they didn't even have a...
When only four people could watch.
Nobody could see it.
So that's what I'm saying. Julia Morales has... I mean, she was there when the getting wasn't good. So right. she's come up with all these guys. She was there when Carlos Correa came up, when Springer came up. So she has a great sense of you know, the Astros' current generation.
Yeah. Also, you guys know that when you're a sideline reporter for the team, you have to still make things sound cheery.
Yeah.
She was able to make those doldrums sound cheery and now gets the payoff of, hey, that's I get to cover a great team.
Oh,
now.
Really? The payoff of not being able to beat the Royals ever? Though not being able to beat the Tigers, not being able to beat the Rangers, not being able to beat any crappy the Orioles?
Your recency bias is leaking.
Your bias is leaking.
That was so another loss to the Royals.
Oh, my gosh.
And another big performance by the offense, four hits, one run.
Well, I think we forget, though, no Tucker, no Bregman, no Jordan. I mean, this is a depleted
lineup.
How
many teams would kill for Correa, Altuve, Brantley? Yeah, we didn't have our super lineup in.
Right.
We just had the good lineup in.
Right. Well, there is something to that. We did have Jake Myers in, who
McCormick,
is a superhero
Myers,
now.
Yeah, McCormick, Myers.
Four hits against the Royals.
Four hits against the Royals.
Dude.
One run. And, you know, I think the story for me was that signs of old Fromber returned. He was hitting locations where he wanted. I mean, some pinpoint locations. He was forcing a lot of just chops into the ground that ended up turned into infield hits because one, he didn't cover the bag, and one, Yuli didn't stay at home. I thought Fromber actually had a very promising game. He, on an 0-2 pitch, the game was tied at 1-1 in the sixth, and it completely changed on an 0-2 count. Benintendi was on first base. It was a hard slider down and in. It was a clear ball, and you had Machete blocked it in front of him, or to the left of him, picked it up, and threw out Benintendi, and is like, oh my gosh, you know, two outs, it's now a 1-2 count. It was an 0-2 count at the time. Well, instead, they looked at the replay, and they said, hold on a second, stay where you are at second base, because that ball actually clipped the hitter on the toe. So now, instead of it being 1-2 with two outs in the inning, you now have men at first and second with one out. He got another weak infield ground ball to he got a weak infield ground ball to get to two outs, and then The next hitter hit a shot down the third baseline, two runs scored.
Yeah.
And of course that was that, because the Astros weren't going to put any more, they weren't even going to put more hits on the board. Not only did they not put more runs on the board, I don't think they put another hit on the board. And that's how he got beat. He got beat with really kind of an unlucky pitch when, but I took away, hey, this Fromber is the kind of Fromber I'm looking for. Now, you know, that's not a great lineup, obviously. The Royals lineup is not a super lineup, but I still like the fact that Fromber was hitting his locations. Don't look now, John. Yankees swept the Red Sox in a doubleheader. Yankees have 69 wins. The Astros have 71.
Yeah.
The Yankees are right there with the A's now.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they're not in the division, but I'm just saying, all of a sudden, the Red Sox, the Astros, the A's, the Yankees, we're all in a little cluster now.
Right. Well, the only one you got to worry about is the A's. You get
your
division,
and you're making the playoffs.
Listen, you've fallen now behind the Rays, who are just simply unbelievable that they just continue to win. They and the Giants with the best records in baseball is just who'd have guessed that going into the season that it was going to be the Rays and the Giants with the two best records in the leagues. But they're starting to pull away from the Astros now a little bit. The Astros still 2.5 games up on the A's. Now, the A's are on their heels, but they can't win. The A's have got a tough schedule down the stretch. And Dusty was asked about the A's after the ball game, and here's what he had to say.
I mean, they're not really, you know, really playing well either the last couple of days. You know, like I said before, you can't worry about, you know, who's on your heels, because somebody's always going to be on your heels. You know, you just got to look forward, try to make some adjustments and changes tomorrow. And you start worrying about, you know, who's behind you and who's on your heels. I mean, you know, then you're in trouble. You're losing sight of the finish line.
Yeah. There's Dusty talk. You can't worry about the A's. How about worrying about the Royals? That'd be great. That'd be great if a guy named Daniel Lynch with those ears didn't just dominate you. I mean, 4 hits all night against Daniel Lynch. Never heard of him. Big Toe Daniel. Never heard of him. And here he is just eating up. Well, that's not one of the best lineups in baseball right now anyway. Except, I'll tell you this, Jake Myers is nice. I could certainly see where they were like, you know what, we got to get McCormick out there, and you know, let's bring up Jake Myers. Let's get rid of Straw with his fast little feet. He's a little fast guy, mm-hmm. And let's get some pop in the lineup. And sure enough, Jake Myers is making the most of it. Dude is a major leaguer. He's proven that they made the right move here.
Yeah.
So really nice. And we had a Pedro Baez sighting. How about Pedro Baez out there? That was unbelievable. Threw an inning and a third, got 4 outs on 12 pitches. He looked really good. Here's Dusty talking about Pedro Baez, actually a Pedro Baez sighting.
By the way, that's his second sighting.
It was,
you know,
exciting.
He had made, last Tuesday, the 10th. Were you out of town?
Yeah, I was.
Oh. You're out of town. There was a previous Pedro Baez sighting, but it's no less. I think he only pitches every Tuesday.
That's it? Oh, is that in his contract?
Yeah, every Tuesday.
He got $6 million for every Tuesday?
He pitched on the 10th, and he pitched on the 17th.
That contract he's
who
got.
Who does he pitch against on the 24th?
We'll see.
Find out who's
I think it's Seattle.
I want to make sure I get tickets so the kids can see him.
So they can see Pedro Baez. But here's Dusty on Pedro.
Yeah, he was better tonight. You know, I mean, he's a lot better tonight. And his velocity was up a couple miles an hour, and hopefully he'll get better. He always has a good changeup. But the more velocity he attains, the better, you know, his secondary pitches being his changeup and his slider.
Well, it's actually the Royals he will face again, so he can dominate that lineup while they lose they lose 2-0.
Dusty referenced
next Tuesday.
Dusty referenced, though, that his miles per hour was up a couple notches, and he's talking about he's playing it off the first game. So, you know, that's one of the things, is his velocity wasn't as good in the minor leagues. He made it back up regardless. But Dusty referenced him against his first appearance, and he said he was better this time around. He threw an inning and a third, no hits, no runs. He only has 1 strikeout so far in 2 1/3 innings, which, you know, big deal, seven batters, one strikeout. But that is kind of an Astro thing. Astros like guys who have good strikeouts per nine. But it's nice just seeing Baez pitch because you got a pretty good runway to get him ready for the playoffs. It's almost like you picked up somebody after the post-deadline trade. It's almost like you picked up a post-deadline trade move with Pedro Baez, the guy who you signed for 2 years.
All right, if you what's your bullpen? What's your bullpen now in the postseason? It's obviously Presley, Graveman, Baez joins the group. There's three.
Well, I don't know that Baez is for sure. We'll have to see how he does.
They paid him a lot of money. I think they're going to try and get something out of him.
He's going to have to.
Well, he looked good last night, and if he continues to do that,
I don't know how you get the Royals out ever.
Well, you can't. Well, listen. Have you seen the Royals? Have you seen this lineup?
It's not good.
It's one of the great lineups of all time.
Sorry, I was thinking it wasn't good.
Okay, so I know it was the Royals.
Well,
let's see. But at least he got the Royals out.
Okay, let me put it this way: it's going to be Baez before it'll be Wrightly.
God willing, you got to have a lefty, and you know what? I think Rayleigh and Taylor are both on it.
Yeah, Taylor will for sure.
Yeah,
be on
that's
it.
That. That's five.
Right, who's your functional
Mason
bullpen?
Is probably going to be on it. Oh, God. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know that Javier is going to be on it. That's
on a piece of paper. I'm writing down players. He's in the right hand category with Stanek, Maton. What about Taylor? Is Taylor in the left hand category?
Yeah, you're going to have two lefties, and it'll be Rayleigh and
No. I don't want Rayleigh
and Taylor.
Yeah. No. Baez.
No. Baez is a righty. Okay.
No. I mean, I want Baez. Oh, we're just talking.
You're going to have two lefties, and it's going to.
Oh, left hand column, left hand.
What about Stanek?
No.
What are you talking about?
Right hand column.
Well, he's in the right hand column?
Left hand column, Baez.
Grave. Okay.
Right hand column. I know Baez.
What about Yimi?
Baez is a right hand pitcher, but he's in my left hand column.
What about Yimi?
Taylor.
Oh.
Yimi's in the left hand column, but.
In Montero, no.
Here's what I have in my left hand column. Austin, I'm putting Rayleigh in the right hand column. Okay, Taylor, left, Baez, Presley, Graveman, Yimi, and I'm going to talk
Stanek,
about.
You haven't sent Javier. No. You haven't sent Stanek.
No, Javier, yes, but I want to have the conversation we had on Sportsnet.
And what are we going? Are we going to have Odorizzi?
No, he's in the bullpen. He's off the playoff roster. He's off the playoff roster.
Well, are you sure?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
He hasn't pitched in the bullpen this whole time. I think you have potentially.
Oh, Abreu, you forgot him. No, I didn't forget him. All right. When we come back, you've got thoughts on the bullpen, you can tweet it at John Granato, at Lance Zierlein.
Right now, you might have thoughts on the lineup. I mean, come on, guys.
Well, you don't have half your lineup.
I don't care. It's the Royals. But you know what? Three shouldn't
have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to hit Daniel Lynch? No. Okay.
I wish I would. I wish he would challenge me.
His ears really throw you off because you can't see the ball when he hides it behind him.
They have some guys that can throw us some velocity.
Do they? That's great. Hit them because everybody else is. You know what it's time to talk about? When we come back, Deshaun update. Deshaun not at practice again, and the lawyers are going back and forth again. So we'll do that on the other side. But right now, we got Pete's Fine Meats. That's our guy, Michael, right there at Richmond and Chimney Rock. And if you haven't been over to Pete's Fine Meats, I don't care how far you got to drive, you go and you pick up all kinds of, if you want the tomahawk steak, they are so pretty. I'm going to tell you what, those gigantic brontosaurus steaks that he's got, look like Frank Flintstone puts it on his car and it falls over.
Same thing with those beef ribs. You get those dino ribs. You know, I always tell people this because this is what we've done before. You just get your order this is my order for the month. When you drive to Pete's Fine Meats at Chimney Rock in Richmond, get your order. He'll vacuum seal everything up. You can throw it in the freezer if you want to.
That's the way to go. It's like fresh. So you could freeze it as long as you want, and it's going to be great. He's already got pressure packed the bacon wrapped shrimp, quail. It's a delicious. It's unbelievable. So if you're looking for any meat or accessories, he's got it all too. Pete's Fine Meats. Tell Michael that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5. He's going to take care of you at Pete's Fine Meats.
You already know how I came. Yeah, he got money, but be lame. I Lambo'd a light, told her get out there, rain.
ESPN 97.5.
patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, so Deshaun wasn't at practice again yesterday. And then Tony Busby came out and he dropped a bomb on everybody, saying that the FBI came up to his office, and as a matter of fact, he's talked to the FBI three times about Deshaun Watson. The court of public opinion on this whole thing is really, I don't get it. Who cares about what people think? I mean, I guess if you're trying to slant a jury pool, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, you and I might have had this discussion before. I'm pretty sure there aren't many people in this city that don't know about Deshaun Watson and the problems he's having.
Yeah, but, you know, they found a jury pool, of course, after watching Cocaine Cowboys 2. A lot of the jury was already bought. I just watched that documentary.
You think that Deshaun is going to try to buy this jury?
I don't think he'll try to buy the jury, but I think you overestimate the amount of people who care about the Texans.
I didn't say care about the Texans. This is news, and it's on every news station.
But if you don't know the details, you can have heard about this. You don't want people who know the details and who have formulated.
Well, listen, a lot of people, if they're hearing all the details and they've made up their mind in favor of Deshaun or in favor of the women, people have made up their mind anyway.
Yeah, your whole job is to try to, as you know, in striking the jury, creating the jury, you're going to interview a cross section of people, and you're going to find the people who don't. So you may get a demographic that is going to be, you know, that's the problem, is you're going to get a demographic potentially, and I don't know who I'd have to think about this, but it might be a 62-year-old woman. It might be a man who is not a sports fan, who is a non-football fan.
Well, if I'm Rusty, do you like football? You're on my jury.
Yeah, they're trying to do that. But you know, he has to be careful, because you don't want a Texan fan who's pissed off at Deshaun Watson either.
That's true.
So I think it's tricky, but I'm not really worried about them finding people who don't know as much about
that
case.
I know. But so I'm just wondering, because here's what Rusty had to say. He's going to have a press conference as soon as we get off the air. So keep on listening to Charlie, because we'll get details of it right here as soon as we may have it live.
That'd be
good. Mr. Harden will address... This came out of Rusty's office yesterday. Mr. Harden will address Mr. Busby's latest antics regarding the FBI in his continued attempts to ruin Deshaun Watson in order to force a settlement of his civil cases and promote himself. There is no question Tony Busby has been a wonderful self-promoter. Every chance he gets, he is... This is wonderful. It's about wonderful Tony Busby and how he can help the little man, because, you know, his mom drove a bus or something. I forget what it was. Mm-hmm. I forget why. But Tony Busby is all about the little people, and he wants to make sure that big bad Deshaun Watson, in any way, shape, or form, is not going to be. Now, is he lying about the FBI investigation?
What do you mean?
Tony Busby.
Is he lying about it?
Well, Rusty Harden says, no. I do not believe, one of the first things Rusty Harden says, I do not believe that there is an FBI investigation of Deshaun Watson.
Okay, so here could be a technicality. It could be that the FBI had looked into it, but there's a big difference between making contact and having a full-out investigation. Maybe it's one of those things. You would have to. The first thing you have to say is, do you believe that Tony Busby's lying, that the FBI... that they've made contact? Is there any chance
three times, and he said,
yeah, that seems specific.
And Tony Busby said, I asked him, you know, why are you interested in this? He said, well, if Deshaun Watson is bringing women in from Atlanta, paying for a plane, paying for Uber, and buying a room at the Houstonian, now it's in our jurisdiction.
Yeah. It's from state to state.
Right.
Boy, getting that one to stick might, well, I don't know.
I don't know.
So here's what I would say. Okay, now I'm going to give you here's a $10,000 chip, right? This is a gold coin. It's worth $10,000. You're at the casino and you got a chance to bet. and we've got the answer behind this sealed envelope. We got the actual true answer. Which one are you betting on? Tony Busby or Rusty Harden? Who is accurate with their information?
Well, well, Rusty, all Rusty said was, I don't believe that there's an FBI investigation.
Okay. And Tony Busby said, I do.
Yes. There and is one. He's talked to, and he specifically said, I've talked to them three times.
Tony Busby.
So I'm going to go with Busby.
I am too. I'd put my chip on Busby. Now, I'm also probably naive and, I, you know, I'm kind of a smoke and fire guy, I guess, but the three times seems awfully specific. That seems like a specific detail. He talks about, I don't think Tony Busby's lying on this one. I don't. Rusty's doing his job too. So I think there might be something to this. And this is, well, if you're a Texans fan who's only interested in roster construction, this is terrible news. Because this is really going to, this once again throws a monkey wrench in there in terms of, now, I've always felt like none of this stuff is getting, none of this really matters until you get to April on draft day. Because Deshaun Watson is tradable once all this stuff gets handled. But if this is something that is going to turn this into a full year affair, or more than a full year affair, this is going to be, this is going to force the commissioner to step in. It's going to force, I mean, are the Texans going to have to keep paying them if isn't there a moral turpitude clause that's going to kick in where Deshaun's not getting paid anymore from the Texans and they can go after a signing bonus? I mean, I'm being serious. At some point, moral turpitude clauses kick in.
Absolutely. No, if in fact,
it's interstate, you know, issues.
You see them on the field first, Trevor Bauer or Deshaun Watson?
God, that's a great question. Bauer. Wait. No, because Deshaun's season she will start. No, Bauer.
Bauer?
Yeah, here's why. Bauer's season's going to start next year, right? So next year we're in April. Baseball's kicking back up again in April. Will Trevor Bauer start next season? Versus Deshaun. Deshaun may still be in court next season. Of course, so could Bauer.
Well, no, he's going to be able to.
You're saying Bauer would miss all next season, probably, because I don't think Deshaun will miss all next season. We got to get through this season.
Man, with federal investigation and a grand jury being, I don't know.
Who do you bet? I'm going to say Bauer simply because
who's going to sign Bauer? Who's going to sign Trevor Bauer after this?
John, there's only going to be 2 years left on his contract. It's $34 million. It's a reasonable contract for... You're talking about who's going to fade the Heat.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's going to be... Ooh. You know who can sign him easily? Tampa. Sign him, Tampa. Who's going
to
care in Tampa?
I don't want Tampa to have him.
I don't want him to have him either, but Tampa set a record. Their crowd of 5,460 is the smallest ever for a Rays game at Tropicana without COVID-related restrictions on capacity. Smallest was 5,700 on May. This is a great team, and they got 5,400 people coming. What do you care about your fan base? She's like, we'll take Trevor Bauer. What, are 5,000 people going
to
complain?
But don't forget, they don't pay anybody. You're talking about a team that can't afford to pay anybody because they have 5,400 fans there.
And you have to move somebody.
What? They're not paying Trevor Bauer. They don't pay anybody.
Well, I'm just saying they could, and no one's going to care. Because no one even goes to games there.
Anyway, Rusty Harden's press conference is going to be at 10 o'clock. So we'll see. We'll get news whether or not we're going to have a lot.
Bowers could be a career ender.
I think so too.
If one more thing pops up where they show, because we've always talked about video footage and pictures. Once it becomes real, Ray Rice's career ended when he knocked out his soon to be wife, fiance at the time. He was contrite, this, that, and the other, but. When he punched her in that elevator, and once the video became public, his career was over. Trevor Bauer is still very much in his prime. He's still an excellent pitcher, one of the top 10 pitchers in Major League Baseball. He's paid $34 million. He's getting paid
like
one of
the Cy Young last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's still one top six pitchers in baseball. We'll just see what happens after Spider Tag. But this you now have. Pictures. If you haven't seen him, you can Google it, and you'll see the pictures that were taken when the alleged victim went to the hospital after supposedly consensual rough relations. And then now there was another woman who has, and I firmly believe, okay, one case he might be able to make something go away. Two cases, it's going to bury him. Because a second case, and now we've got a second case where someone, I guess, had a restraining order against him. If any other pictures come up from anyone else, or if more people come forward, I don't know if Trevor Bauer comes back, because, like you said, the juice has to be worth the squeeze for Trevor Bauer. Not only is he making $34 million a year, he's also a pain in the ass teammate, apparently, or at least he was with the A's. The Dodgers. Dodgers didn't care for him at all.
They kicked him to the curb immediately.
And this is you've got pictures of violence against a woman, and you can say, well, you know, rough sex. If you saw the pictures, there's no way you can look at that and say it didn't go beyond the scope of that.
And the Washington Post brought in another woman previous.
Well, the Washington Post girlfriend. Was working overtime.
Well, they were, and it's questionable. Trevor Bauer put out a lot of texts between he and this woman. And it's really questionable. Her credibility is questionable. Anyway, all of that going on. This is the weirdest. I mean, you want to talk about
two huge,
best in the business at what they do, amongst the top five in their leagues, and they can't play.
Here's the thing: you think all this stuff just started happening? No, it's with social media. It allows more of this to get out. Can you imagine all this stuff for years and years, decades? That never got out about some of these creeps.
Oh, absolutely. So when we come back, Kirk Herbstreit was on the Wheelhouse yesterday. He had we got stuff that he said about Texas, about A&M, and about super conferences. So we will talk about that on the other side. But right now I'm talking about HR&P. Mike Holly and the guys over at HR&P, Kevin and Chris and Chad, and all of the great people, I'm telling you, you are really going to like them. You're going to like what they do. You're going to like you're going to love the professionalism. You're going to love the technology that they have. You're going to love how responsive they are. Because if your payroll and your HR company isn't responsive to all of your needs, then you need to come with ours, because they are. And they were right there for us during all of the COVID-related stuff, during all of the PPP, all of the, you know, small business loans. They were right there working with us hand in hand. All of the unemployment claims, everything that has to do with your business running smoothly and getting it done on that end. If you're not completely satisfied with yours, go with ours. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
Don't you worry, baby. No sense trying to change it.
ESPN 97.5. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on that, or if you got any thoughts on what Kirk Herbstreit said yesterday, you're more than welcome. He was on.
What did Kirk Herbstreit say, John?
He was tired. Dude, he didn't bring quite the same energy that he brings on TV. He was on with Pat McAfee, right? Did he seem sleepy on that one?
No, he was subdued.
He was subdued?
Yeah, I think he was a little more energetic.
He was on yesterday. So what does he think? Okay, first of all, the University of Texas and Sark, and where are they and how good will they be? Here's his answer about Texas.
Well, you got a great coach. Sark is right now is hot of a brand, not just as a head coach, but the way he's called plays over the last few years. I don't know how closely you guys have watched him, but he is, if I were a quarterback, you know, you have Lincoln Riley, obviously you have Sark, you have Ryan Day. I would put Jimbo Fisher up there. I mean, there's some great offensive minds in the college game that know how to score points, and Sark could be right near the top of that. So he's got some quarterbacks that don't have a lot of experience. He's got some skill, but I think more than anything, it's just a culture. You know, I think he's got to get Texas back to being mentally and physically tough. He's got to get their fan base kind of reinvigorated and excited about that brand, those guys taking the field, and the Longhorns getting back to having a little bit of an edge to them. And I think he'll, the way the demands he'll set for them, I think will get them there eventually. I don't know if it's going to happen this year.
Agree or disagree?
I agree with all that stuff. Reinvigorated fan base. I think, I think it's going to start with, the first thing it's going to start with is they have to start recruiting. There has been a long history. And I don't care if you get mad. I really don't give a crap. It's been a long history of guys who, it's become country club city in Austin. Like it under Mac Brown, it was, he recruited some great players, really good NFL players. He had a run. Some of those guys were McAvick guys, right? So Casey, Sean Hampton, Casey Rogers, I believe they're both McAvick. Ricky Williams, McAvick. McAvick had brought some pretty good guys in. You had Mac Brown took over, and you know he had plenty of good ones. Brian Robinson, NFL player. Brian Arakpo, NFL player. Leonard Williams, I think was his. I don't know if that was him or I think that was his. Yeah, it was. But then you have Vince. We know about Vince, but their peak, the recruiting really started to stall out. But I started hearing stories from NFL people a long time ago about it was just, you just didn't have the guys who had, and look, you can see it in the amount of the sparse number of Longhorns who are factors in the NFL. This has been going on for about a decade. This is a long run of non-factor, where Texas has been a relative non-factor when in relation to the top programs in college football. So you got to get the right talent in. You got to get the right attitudes in and the mental toughness. And that's going to start with the players holding each other accountable. But I think it's all doable. And I think I thought Sark, so as somebody who watched a lot of quarterback play from Tua and then Mac Jones, and I'm watching offense because there's a ton of wide receivers, quarterbacks, and I'm writing up for the draft. I was blown away by Sark. And you guys saw it watching Alabama football on TV. You don't have to study draft stuff. You saw it on TV when they break down the replays. Like, holy crap, look at the design of this play. I thought Sark was brilliant. I thought he was a brilliant play caller and play designer, his passing attack at Alabama. Sark's issues.
The way he used Najee, the counters, it was unbelievable.
The way that he used running backs out of the backfield as delay targets that were in matchup situations. What he did to me is something that can really take Texas to the next level from an X's and O's standpoint. I think Sark's issues have been personality based. He's got to make sure he's mature. He's got to make sure, you know, alcohol isn't an issue. You know,
hopefully he's done with that.
The boogeyman in his the personal stuff more than the football stuff to me.
Yep.
That's got to be under control. And if that's under control, I think Sark has a great chance to help turn Texas around because he has been with Nick Saban. He's kind of seen the formula, right? So I like what he said about Texas. I just think that
we got to see it.
There's no reason.
Didn't we feel the same way when Herman took over?
It did.
Yeah. We did.
It did.
It was the same thing.
But
so
I like Tom Herman personally. I think Herman sometimes can be a little bit thin-skinned when it comes to any kind of criticism. I think you just have to. There's no question about that, Aaron. Aaron's like, listen, Herman can be thin-skinned. When you're in Austin, you're gonna hear stuff. When it's going good, it's going great. Mac Brown was thin-skinned too.
Oh yeah.
But Mac won, so he could bully everyone around in Austin.
Yeah.
Sark is just going to have to. It's like a whole culture shift that's needed at Texas, but it's doable to me. But you better get it done before you go to the SEC.
All right, A&M. Now we asked about the Aggs and
SEC
and what they're going to do this year. Here's Herb Street.
You know, and I think if you look at the schedule, it sets up to be able to allow a young guy to get some confidence. I think, with all due respect to Colorado and maybe even Arkansas, but they're, if you look at this, they're going to be heavily favored in their first five or six games before they get ready. I think it's October 9th when Alabama comes to College Station, which will be one of the most hyped up games, I think, of the regular season during college football.
All right, so my turn to ask you a question. So when they're undefeated, I had a conversation with April, who's the physical therapist over, keeps up with A&M. She used to work for with A&M's football program. With Sumlin was there early on. Well, I don't know if she worked with him then, but she knows A&M really well. And we were talking about Hayes King. We were talking about the quarterback situation, the offensive line situation. If the quarterback situation is good out of the gate, how much of a chance do you give Jimbo of being the first Nick Saban disciple to knock off Nick Saban in a regular season game? Because let's remember now, there's a lot of guys gone from Alabama. They've lost a ton of weapons. They've lost wide receivers, quarterback, offensive line. I know Texas A&M did too, but I think replacing Mac Jones is going to be harder than replacing Kellen Mond.
Okay, I'll counter this. What newbie quarterback would you rather have than Bryce Young?
Well, I want to see Bryce Young play.
Yeah. Well, I watched him in the spring game. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
Everybody's good in the spring game.
No, right. I mean, it's against your own defense. I get it. But Bryce Young is one of the very highly touted. Now, he's at Alabama, so you're going to get more hype. But
yeah, he's probably pretty good.
Yeah, he's probably really, really good. So so here's the deal is I think that if they are – listen, except for Johnny, other than Johnny – yeah, they had a one close game against Alabama back here in College Station. But last year, A&M was the fifth best team in the country, and they lost by 28. There's still a lot of distance between the two programs, but A&M is definitely narrowing the gap. They're in about the same situation. What do you know about Hayes King?
Nothing.
I
don't know anything. I just know what I was asking April. She said he's mobile. He moves well, throws it well. He's talented. I mean, it's the same situation. Until guys play, you don't know. It used to be a death knell if you lost your quarterback the next year. It's simply not that anymore. If you're a talented quarterback, I'm more worried about A&M losing their offensive linemen, losing four starters. But, you know, one of the things that she told me is she said, look, these two got one. Jake Matthews' brother is coming back off of injury. He'll be the starting center. There's another guard who played last year who is really, really talented. So we shall see.
All right. Well,
when we come back, I want to hear more from Herb Street because great job by the Wheelhouse and Andrew Carlson, their producer, for getting Herb Street on. One of my favorite to this day. One of my favorite college football guys.
He might be
my favorite college football guy to listen to.
Right. I know a lot of people don't like him because he hates their teams.
Yeah. Yeah, he's officially made that, you know, and he did get chased out of Ohio State because he didn't put the cape on for everything Ohio State did. And so they literally ran him out of Ohio. He just moved to Nashville. He's like, he just double rotted him, but in the other way, and just said, here you go, all of state of Ohio, I'm moving to Nashville.
So when we come back, we got his thoughts on Super Conference. So you don't want to go anywhere here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But in the meantime, Lance, what you got?
In the meantime, let's talk about my good friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. How would you like to have a little hookup here for buy 10 windows, get two free? Buy 10 windows and get two free. That's a pretty good deal. Well, these are energy-efficient windows that not only beautify your home. Your home's going to look great with new windows. It always does. When you have the windows from Allstate, you're in great shape because they're going to beautify, but they're also going to really do a great job at keeping the cool air in. And during the summer, one of the biggest culprits for higher energy bills is leaky windows. And when you have older windows and you have the movement that we have in our soil, you end up having leaky windows. That's just a fact, but they can retrofit you with new energy efficient windows, and they've got 25% off your windows or buy 10, get two free. Now, it doesn't stop there. They've got complete siding jobs available with a $2,000 discount if you do your entire home. And siding is another great way from Allstate to upgrade the appearance of your home and help make it more energy efficient. Call 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or just go to the website today, right now, at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com.
Fuck me, she good at it. So she never made love, but she good at it. She making me feel good when I look at it.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Dean of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, welcome back on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Let's do this, Aaron. Let's do this giveaway. We got live music is back here in the city of Houston. The legendary rock bands Bush and Stone Temple Pilots making their way to Houston this October for their 2021 tour. Let's make Cam work out there. Caller number 12. Caller number 12 at exactly 7:50. At exactly 7:50. So if you are when you're if see if you got an Android, I don't know if your time is right. If at exactly 7:50, you call 713-780-3776.
Well, we'll open the line.
And caller number 12 will win a pair of tickets to see these rock icons perform at the Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion on Sunday, October 3rd.
Bush and STP?
Yeah, Bush and STP. Tickets That's on good. Sale this Friday at LiveNation.com. Limited $20 tickets are still available. So we got to get the winner name, and we will email you your tickets. We will email you your tickets. We'll get the name and email, Cam.
The lead singer for Bush, Gavin Rossdale, who
is that? Who you like? Your wife loves,
and she actually she does like Gavin Rossdale. Well, she did, but who is his ex wife? Do you know?
Gavin Rossdale's.
Mm-hmm. I'll give
Pamela
you
a Anderson.
I'll give you a hint. No, but no, no. You're in the neighborhood.
I am.
You're in the neighborhood with the blonde.
Heather Locklear.
No, younger than Heather Locklear. Yeah, and she had some Harajuku girls for a while. She had Asian girls who would dance with her for a while. See if that. And I was like,
Britney Spears.
No, but you're trending.
Jessica Simpson.
No,
I'm trending.
Yeah, I mean you're in the neighborhood.
Okay, a blonde singer. We could go on forever.
Gwen
Stefani.
Yeah,
she's blonde. Really?
Yeah, she's been blonde for a long time. Not naturally.
No, what do you mean? How do you know that about the
because
carpets
I've
and,
seen,
and the...
Because I've seen... I didn't say that. I've the seen, because I've seen her when she was... She's great as a brunette. There's a video called Cool where I'm like... Oh.
Yeah.
I had a thing for Gwen for a little while.
I know you did.
Yeah. Well, I'm over it. I'm over
it. Yeah, apparently your wife has a thing for a By lot way, of singers.
Who's...
Well, the old 97s or
no,
what, 98s
pretty
or,
much
90,
just
or 99s?
Miller. Old 97s. Rhett Miller.
Okay.
She's like, they're coming to Austin. Like, tickets are sold out. I already bought two tickets. Are you going or am I going to bring somebody? I'm going. I'm not going to let you go by yourself. Get out of here.
You ain't going without me there.
I'm going.
To see that guy.
That's like your wife going to see a Reds
Joey
game.
Joey Votto.
Yeah. Without you there and Joey Votto there.
Listen, I'm going to go sit behind a Reds dugout. What?
Aaron, by the way, who's the lead singer for Stone Temple Pilots now?
It's this guy. I think it's Jeff Gutt still, who was on The Voice. He was a finalist on The Voice four or five years ago.
Yeah.
They grabbed him... when he got eliminated, I think he's still the lead singer. He actually doesn't do a bad job of sounding semi.
To Weiland.
Yeah, semi like Scott Weiland without actually being
Weiland,
just a cover band.
It was drugs, right? That got Weiland?
Yeah, heroin.
It had to be, yeah.
I think when he died, he was actually, they were on tour and it was in the bus.
That's a,
from what I remember.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, it's like Journey. They got a new singer. It doesn't look at all like...
Steve Perry?
Yeah, Steve Perry.
No, it's the Asian guy.
Yeah.
And he can belt it.
Arnel Pineda.
Well, that's not Asian. Pineda? Yeah.
Well, he is Filipino.
Oh, okay.
He's Filipino.
I got you. So people are calling right now. We opened up the phone line, so good luck.
And you can hear
him.
So caller number 12 is going to win those tickets to Stone Temple.
Now, back to the wheelhouse yesterday, Kirk Herbstreit. Did talk about A&M. He did talk about Texas. We've weighed in on that. He also talked yesterday about the move of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, and like all of us, it caught him by surprise.
Yeah, I was blindsided by it. I had no idea that that was even potentially in the works. So when I heard it, I thought, wow, the timing of that's interesting, you know, during the SEC media days, and, you know, nobody was denying it. So I thought, you know, whoever, I can't remember the gentleman who had the article, but he obviously plugged in and has a good story, and it ended up being true. And as we saw, you know, like a week or two later, you know, they came out and addressed it. And Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, said, you know, we're going to welcome Texas and Oklahoma. So it becomes a reality. And now we're all left to wonder what in the heck's going to happen to the rest of the SEC or the rest of the Big 12.
Yeah, and that is the big question for the rest of the Big 12.
Serious question. I'm not even joking when I ask this. how did they keep this secret for so long? If they really had these conversations for 6 months, to me, this is one of the most, like, I can't believe that. Well, maybe I have to reassess the Jordan and the NBA. I've always thought, okay, Jordan couldn't have been suspended by the league. I mean, that would have leaked out at some point that the league forced him to be suspended because of gambling connections and all that. I always felt like if that was true, and I do think that the, you know, Last Dance addressed some of that. Of course, Jordan is a big producer behind The Last Dance or whatever, so you never know. How in the world did they keep this story from leaking? How did one person not tell a friend who told a friend who all of a sudden it gets to Charles Robinson or it gets to, you know,
friends weren't him in.
It gets to, yeah, I mean.
How it didn't get to Charles Robinson, yeah.
How did it not get to a national writer sooner? How did this not leak if this were really a six-month conversation?
Well, that seems impossible. Probably it was just with the athletic directors and the presidents, and that's it. And those guys aren't giving it up.
Does this make you feel good that maybe there is a world where
It makes me feel really good.
Don't come out and start talking.
You know, but then, for whatever reason, it was maybe Texas A&M got wind, or Texas A&M was told, hey, this is happening right now, and they gave it directly to Zwerneman so that it could become public knowledge that they could. But that's it. Bjork was caught unawares when he asked about it. So that maybe it wasn't the case that Texas A&M, because Bjork would have been one of the first to know from his president. I don't know who leaked it and why it was leaked 6 months after. I don't know how they did it, but I'm glad that it did. That there actually could be some negotiations that the media doesn't get a hold of and ruin every single time. I'm thrilled that it happened that way, that we were all caught unawares, finally, a different deal. So
I feel bad for the teams involved, though. The teams who are going to be hurt, like the Big 12 teams.
I feel
bad. I mean, this is going to have a really bad impact. I'll tell you exactly why. Listen to Kirk Herbstreit talking about the Super Conference. He believes, like you and I both believe, that they're going to spin off. But I don't know that some of these teams that are in the Big 12 are going to get left behind. Here's Kirk Herbstreit yesterday talking about this Super Conference concept.
I have no information. I might be completely wrong. It feels like we're potentially headed to these four super conferences, you know, where each of them have 16 teams, that those teams or those conferences maybe pull away from the NCAA, create their own kind of world, their own governing body, their own rules, and they don't have to worry about, you know, what's going on with the NCAA.
I mean, get their own commissioner. I'm telling you, this is happening. There's going to be 64, and then maybe they'll add a couple three, four teams, 68, somewhere in that neighborhood. But this has been going on. This talk has been going on for a decade now, that these guys were pulling away. And there's no reason that the Rices and the East Carolinas and the smaller schools should be in the same conference as Alabama and LSU and Texas. It's just, they're two different worlds.
But they're not in the same conference.
Well, in the same division as these schools. There's no reason for it, because they should be able to play. Texas State can't play for a national.
But you're killing them, their ability. Here's the one thing I take exception with, because you know this better than anybody. Your son was at a Division II school, Missouri Western?
No, FCS.
FCS, and then was at, so it goes,
was
FBS,
it Rice?
FCS, was
it
Rice?
Division which is, one, which is and FBS? Then FCS. Okay. FBS, FCS.
FBS, FCS. Rice, not so much. They've got their own money. They're well-funded, right? But there's so many programs, like Houston. Houston's a much better example. Man, they need, probably East Carolina too, they rely on the arms race. They've had to keep, their spending has had to go up, but their revenue is going to get cut. You're going to do so much to, and then the college, you're going to do so much damage to those programs when you start cutting off the money that's coming
in. I'm not sure, because there are still going to be plenty of really, really good. The number of college football players doesn't change. There's still going to be really, really good programs. Coastal Carolina is still going to be good. Cincinnati is still going to be good. They're still going to get really good players. They're just not playing. You know what, though? Now you can play for a national championship if you're those teams. They can't play for it now.
I think it might mean less, though, to the people. Like, would it mean
Does it
as
mean
much
less at 5A, a 5A state championship?
No, but I don't think that's the same.
As opposed to the 6A?
I don't think that's the same. You're watching. you know, you, the way that, that the FBS is exalted, you're basically no longer in what's known as the FBS. Well, you're FBS, but you'll be FBS tier two.
You know what?
I think it hurts those teams.
Absolutely. I've said this a few times. I asked David Bailiff about it, and he was like, no. I want to be in the top. I said, but you can't win a national championship. He said, I don't care. We want to be in the top, playing with the top,
Dana,
because that's where the pay is.
Would Dana rather be in tier one or tier two?
Oh, absolutely tier one.
Well, that's what I'm saying. No one wants to be tier two.
Yeah.
It's money is substantially less.
Yes.
Honestly.
Not really. Not really, though.
I bet it will be, though.
You're still, listen, their stadiums aren't 100,000-seat stadiums. They're not Michigan. U of H has a 40,000-seat stadium. Cincinnati has a 40,000. This is their level. This is where they are, and they're still going to be there if they play really good football and they got a shot at a national championship. It's still good. It's still going to be great, great football, and it's actually, I think, going to be more competitive. It's not going to be great for them now, but I think in the long run, this actually will work out for all of them, that they're going to be able to compete. All right, we got to take a break because Julia Morales is going to join us on the other side to talk some Astros baseball. But first, a little underdog.
Underdog fantasy. I am already locked into three. I'm waiting to lock in on more season-long fantasy football leagues with underdog fantasy. This is something like I don't find with daily fantasy, a lot of them. Daily fantasy is great. They've got daily fantasy available through Underdog Fantasy. But, you know, if you go to underdogfantasy.com, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. They've got Best Ball Mania, too. I want to focus on that. There's $3.5 million in prizes, including $1 million to first place. Right now, they're still sitting at 155,500 entrants right now. $25 is what it costs to get into it. Here's the great thing. You draft your team, and that's it. You set it and forget it. And there is no waiver wire. There is no sit start. Whoever the top scorers are at the different positions is what you get. So if you're somebody who says, I want to take a chance in my draft on getting a more volatile player who may have a 40-point weekend and a little lesser the next weekend, this is the kind of league for you. Make sure that you go check out all of the tournaments they have in basketball, football, baseball. They do daily, they do season long, and it's all available through underdogfantasy.com. They're the big dogs that are coming up in the space, and I think you're going to love the way they do business. Use promo code radio to get a $25 bonus on your first deposit. It's underdogfantasy.com, promo code radio.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!